Most of us lead busy lives. The majority of this audience falls between the ages of 25 and 54. Most of you guys are professionals. You have a career. You have a family. You wake up every morning, get the kids ready for school, head off to work. After work, you got to get the kids to soccer practice, maybe cheerleading practice. Then everyone's hungry. You got to feed them. By the time you get showered and put the kids to bed, it's 9, 10 o'clock at night. You might have 1 hour to yourself before it's time for bed, and you wake up and do it all over again. Your week is so busy it flies by. Then it's time for the weekend. No break here. The kids have football games or birthday parties to go to. The hot water in the shower has been leaking for weeks because you haven't had time to fix it, so you finally get that done. The yard's covered in leaves. Have to clean that up. House needs to be cleaned. Laundry has to be done. Finally, it's Sunday afternoon. You finally get a break. You have 7 hours of commercial-free football on NFL Red Zone. You excitedly head out to your man cave. You pop the top on your first beer. Your bets have been placed on all the games. Scott Hansen puts the octo box on the screen. Your adrenaline is flowing. All of a sudden, you hear the door crack open. Your son Garfield pokes his head in the room. He's a normal kid. He doesn't buy into proper pronouns. At the beginning of the semester, his guidance counselor recommended he sign up for cross-dressing with non-binary Weston as his elective. They wanted him to get in touch with his feminine side. But being the smart young man that he is, your son Garfield does the manly thing. He signs up for construction technology instead. Only one problem, though. On this Sunday afternoon, Garfield informs you he has a project due the next morning and he needs your help. He has no supplies, no idea where to get started. 7 hours of commercial-free football just turned into 7 hours of father-son bonding time over a school project. When your life is busy, when your life is filled with work, friends, family, you don't have time to pay attention to the bullshit. You don't have time to be offended. You don't have time to get caught up in the hysteria, the fake outrage of some two-incher pincher on Twitter. One of the problems we have right now in society, half the country doesn't have enough to do. Half the country doesn't have enough to keep them busy. You ever heard that saying, and this might have come from the Bible, idle hands are the devil's workshop? When your life is empty, when you don't have enough going on to keep your mind occupied, your mind will wander into places it doesn't need to go. You start worrying about what other people are doing, what other people are saying. You get so offended when Dave Chappelle makes jokes about white people. You get triggered when MSNBC fires Tiffer the bongo sniffer. The devil, he makes use of your idle hands, turning them into Twitter fingers. I have been telling you guys for a while now, the unemployables, they have created this atmosphere where people are genuinely afraid to speak their minds publicly. What did that lady on CNN call it the other day? A social penalty? You are only allowed to slip up once. You are only allowed to make one mistake. Hell, most of the time, you don't even realize you're saying anything offensive. Normal people aren't offended by what you said, but all it takes is for you to offend half a wanker spanker, and your career is immediately over. You are canceled. In most cases, there's only one group vulnerable to cancel culture. Normal people. I'm talking about normal people of all races. If Sean Hannity made the same remarks about minorities that Joy Reid makes about white people, they would put him in woke jail. If Herschel Walker said he prefers vanilla over chocolate ice cream, time for the cucumber. Typically, normal people are the only ones that have to constantly worry about what they say. So I was a bit surprised when I heard that one of the deacons at Woke United Methodist is afraid of his own people. I was stunned to hear one of the purveyors of mythical racism publicly admit his fear of birthing persons. I am talking about the founder of Forehead Fellatio, the former bongo partner of Max Kellerman, the ex-husband of Skippy Bebe, my boy Stephen A. Smith. Of all the woke shit fucks we talk about here on the channel, I find Stephen A. Smith to be the most fascinating. Reason being, I think under the cape of colors beneath his covered rug of mythical racism, you make your way through the manufactured propaganda, you will find a rational thinker, a normal dude. I think the real Stephen A. Smith is a normal dude just like you and me. Outside the walls of ESPN, when Stephen A. is allowed to give his real opinion on issues, I find myself agreeing with him at least most of the time. My opinion of Stephen A. has not changed. I first said it, I think, 18 months ago. I've stood by it ever since. I believe Stephen A. Smith sold his integrity for money. I think he accepted $8, $12 million per year from ESPN to be their paid propagandist. When an issue comes up that can be twisted into mythical racism, ESPN relies on Stephen A. to deliver the message. As much as he has dedicated himself to the cause, as much as he has shared the good word with his following of lonely men, you would think Stephen A. Smith is untouchable. You would think he has the luxury of speaking without fear of cancellation. If so, you would think wrong. Earlier this week, Stephen A. reacted to Dave Chappelle's monologue on Saturday Night Live. We talked about this on Monday. Shitfucks across the country have stormed the servers of Twitter, emotional support shovels in hand, to protest the comedy of Dave Chappelle. This outburst of fake outrage directed at Dave Chappelle, it triggered our brother Stephen A. He's on live television 10, 15 hours every week. There is no editing. There is no delay. Once that toxic fart escapes his mouth, there's not a vacuum cleaner in America that can bring it back in. On his No Mercy podcast, Stephen A. admitted that he is afraid of his fellow birthing persons. Listen for yourself.
Because we keep finding a reason to ostracize folks. And on a personal level, make no mistake about it, I wake up every day feeling I'm next. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm on live television 10 hours a week, minimum. Live. No 7-second delay, no tape delay, no anything. The only thing that I've ever taped is this podcast. Everything else is live. I slip up, I'm toast.
I could not agree more with that first thing that he said. We keep finding a reason to ostracize people. Why? Why? And it's not we. We don't find reasons to cancel people. They do. But what's the reason behind it? They want to create this atmosphere where only one opinion is allowed. Only one train of thought, only one mentality is allowed. If you don't agree with their line of thinking 100%, it can't be 99.9%. You must buy in 100%. And if you don't, they're getting on their brooms and pounding your brown into submission. It happened to Stephen A. Smith last summer. I believe it was around the 2021 All-Star break in Major League Baseball. Stephen A. said Shohei Ohtani can't be the face of Major League Baseball because he doesn't speak English. Now, that is a factual statement. In order to be the face of a league, you got to be able to relate to your fan base. Kind of hard to be relatable when no one understands what you're saying. There was nothing wrong with what Stephen A. said. It wasn't a slight against Shohei Ohtani. It was the truth. But as you guys know, birthing persons are allergic to the truth. They destroyed Stephen A. Smith on Twitter. Instead of standing up for himself, Stephen A. oiled up his bongos, stocked up on Preparation H, and prepped himself for hours of percussion pounding. He issued this apology on Twitter. Now, this apology was posted 7 hours after Woke Take went off the air. Notice the key words as I'm watching this unfold. In other words, I have come to the realization that I have offended my lonely male followers. I must atone for my sins by issuing an insincere apology and pretend what I said was wrong. Now, keep in mind, ESPN did not suspend Stephen A. over these remarks. Sage still claims ESPN forced her into getting poked by the Fauci lizard. She's quietly removed from SportsCenter. ESPN, they didn't even give Stephen A. a polite pat on the ass over this. He was on Woke Take the next morning groveling for forgiveness. I thought this admission of fear was interesting. Stephen A. Smith, he is a made man in the woke mafia. He's a VIP at all the events. He receives bottle service at Don's Lemonade Stand. Every July 4th, ESPN hosts the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Every year, Stephen A. receives top shelf wiener. During the month of Woke Christmas, he's riding in the premier float at the Pride Parade. But in the woke movement, no good deed goes unpunished. No mistakes allowed. Doesn't matter how many times you create stories of mythical racism. Doesn't matter how many times you pretend the WNBA is a basketball league. None of those contributions matter. The first time you disagree with them, the first time Sheldon Palms gets offended over something you said, you're canceled. It's over. Stephen A. Smith basically admitted he feels like he has to hold himself back. He has to be cognizant of everything that he says. Now, part of the reason for that is the fear of the so-called social penalty. But the main source of his fear is where he works. Stephen A. Smith is not dumb. You don't become a millionaire. You don't build the platform that he's built by being a dumbass. Stephen A. Smith is a smart dude. For 2 hours every morning, he knows his bosses at ESPN are checking Twitter every second, making sure some guy living in a cardboard box is not being offended by what he says. It shouldn't be this way. It's not supposed to be this way. Stephen A. should be able to speak freely without fear of repercussion. Unfortunately for him, he works at a network where free speech is not allowed. About a month ago, I showed you guys a clip of Stephen A. on Fox News. I think he was being interviewed by Jesse Waters. You guys remember that? Do you remember how careful he was? It was a side of Stephen A. Smith that we don't see on ESPN, but he was still very careful about what he was saying. He didn't want to move too far towards the center. He knows the people signing his checks wouldn't approve. Now, this is just speculation on my part, so take it for what it's worth. But I think Stephen A. Smith is preparing his exit from the worldwide leader in woke. I think he is laying the foundation to leave ESPN. He has stated on multiple occasions that he wants to be on late night TV. From what I can tell, his new podcast, it doesn't have any affiliation with ESPN. It's a deal between Stephen A. and Odyssey. Well, KC, he would be a fool to walk away from ESPN. They're paying him $12 million a year. It ain't about money. It's about freedom. The freedom to talk about whatever you want. The freedom to make your own schedule. The freedom of not worrying about some executive being emotionally triggered by the fake outrage on Twitter. I hope Stephen A. leaves ESPN. At this point, ESPN needs him more than he needs ESPN. He is the only star at the network. If he does leave, it'll be the first time in years that we get to see the real Stephen A. Smith. But let me know what you think. Stephen A. admits to being afraid of his fellow parishioners at Woke United Methodist. And give me your thoughts on my theory. Is Stephen A. Smith laying the foundation to leave ESPN? What do you think? Sound off in the comments below. Make sure to like and subscribe. Click the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com. KC_btl84 on Twitter. I'll see you guys later.